B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alex, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Al.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was just calling to give just a different thought on Elton Brand, at least different from you guys.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not done evaluating him, obviously, because we are only 40 games into the season. And I mean, as the full track record, I guess I rate him around a 5 right now in my confidence in him. I think you got to give him credit, like you were saying, for the Butler trade and kind of reshaping the roster to get us in that position. Because I think if we bring that roster from last year back, which I know we couldn't, but if we bring that back, I think we're definitely the favorites. I mean, other than probably the Lakers, but.
Well, you aren't going to have Tobias and Jimmy on the team.
Yeah. So, I mean, they went with him because Butler's kind of a loose cannon, but the main thing I question is the Al Horford deal. I just think you're taking two kind of risks when you're signing Horford. You're taking the risk of his age being 33, and then you're also taking a risk of fitting him into this roster where I feel like you gotta, on offense right now, or at least half court, we're running with like three guys who I think their best position on offense is probably a 4. With Horford.
You're one of these Simmons needs to be the 4 guy?
No, I think you can have him as the point guard.
Okay.
I think the reason we got Josh Richardson is because he's a combo guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked, instead of adding Horford, is maybe to add another combo guy who's at least 6'5", keep the height, but maybe give us a little bit more creation on offense.
Tobias is going to be, he's not really a true 4, right? He's more of a face the basket.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a 3-4, whatever you want to call him. Uh-huh. I'm just saying, I think the whole offense is just a little condensed with those guys. I would have preferred guard.
Listen, I hear you. Now, the one thing that you have with Horford is he has been able to hit that corner 3.
Yeah.
So he should, theoretically, he should fit and spread the floor.
I don't even think it's about as much about shooting as it is creating offense that we're lacking.
I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, you like to see more creation out of Jay Rich. Because next to Simmons, that guy needs to be a higher score volume.
Exactly.
I agree with that. But that's the one. I would agree with that. But if you look at Brand's overall resume, right?
Yeah.
When you start with Fultz, Dario, Covington, and you turn it into this, like, I don't understand how you could be a 5.
No, I think he probably was higher last year with me, probably around an 8, but I just didn't like the moves this offseason. I would have personally rather, now, I don't know how the logistics would have worked. Their deals were close to the same. But I would have tried to get D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah, I hate D'Angelo Russell. I hate him. He's a he's not a great athlete. He plays no defense. He's a volume shooter.
You got to coach him up a little bit.
I hate him I think he's a flea. Ew. Alex, I love you. Good job, buddy. A lot of fun. Good conversation. This I actually heard someone say that they would trade Ben Simmons for him. Ew. Got to be crazy. You got to be out of your mind to do that. I hate his game. Hate his game. Junis, you're quiet. You like him?
No, I can't stand him. Plus, I just needed to make sure it was him. D'Angelo Russell also is a snitch, and I can't.
I don't care about that.
Oh, I do.
I don't care.
Oh, I do.
Listen, forget about that. That's the.
Enough snitches in Philadelphia with Alshon.
I'm looking at his game. Right.
Yes, you're right.
His game. I hate his game. Hate it.
Plus, you lose. I don't know. You lose so much.
He's a bad athlete. He's not a good athlete.
Okay, he's got a nice.
He can't create his own shot. Like, listen, if he's open, he'll hit shots.
Yes,
but he's not a great off the bounce creating a shot.
Yeah, he's got a nice 3-point shot. That's it.
People are crazy.
You lose everything.
See,
that
one thing about basketball, I think, is skewed nowadays, is because of the analytics and truly the stats, it changes the way we look at players and their games at times. Like, I look at D'Angelo, he plays literally no defense. He's not a good athlete. I would want nothing to do with him.
You lose a lot. You lose Ben Simmons' passing, his defense, his rebounding, both offense.
He's not just his defense, his elite shutdown defense.
Yes, yeah.
That will help you win in the playoffs. Sam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sammy!
How you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you.
Hey, how you been, Sam?
Good, man. I was just, I called in the other day. I was talking to Tunis when you were out and telling him I was on vacation. It was great to get away from the cold, all that.
Where'd you go?
Went down to the Bahamas. Oh, pretty dope.
Good for you, brother. Good for you.
Yeah, it was a good
trip.
That's
awesome.
All right. Anyway, what do I want to get into? Quick thing. I want to give a major shout out to the Flyers. That was a big, big win last night against the best team in hockey, without a doubt.
Yep.
It's sort of been a roller coaster, at times depressing season, but the one consistent they've had is Carter Hart is dynamite at home. Just absolutely amazing at home. And that just shows me if they can get to the playoffs, anything can happen when you got a stud goaltender. So I just wanted to give them some shout out because
I agree. But do me one favor, because like I'm with you. Carter Hart at home is dynamite. You nailed it. He's dynamite. But you know what was confusing? What was going on in those first periods on the road out west?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's coaching. I don't know if it's the players are lagging because they're on the road. But yeah, they were not starting games well. It actually got to the point I didn't even watch a couple of the games on the west road trip because I was like, all right, this it sort of looks like the team that just locked into not playing great hockey, but. It was a great win last night. I hope it continues.
Yeah, I'm with you.
For the rest of January. We gotta get to Sixers real quick. I mean, it's Celtics Day. I never understand when people don't call in with anything but hype on Celtics Day. I mean, like, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind. People want to complain. I mean, Ben Simmons for D'Angelo and Russell. I had to get to my Flyers point because that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
That's just gross. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
I know people, listen, I'm not going to be the one to say, you know, the Al Horford signing is the greatest signing ever or anything like that. But because we made that signing, we have a basketball game to watch tonight, right? Like, if we're starting out Amir Johnson or Kyle O'Quinn tonight, against the Celtics, you might as well chalk it up as a loss. But because we have Horford, we have a chance to compete tonight. And I got to be totally honest with you, dude. I think we win the game tonight. I really do. I'm going to be there.
I love it.
I'm going to be loud. I just think we win the game.
I love it, Sam.
Lost two straight. They're starting to kind of pick at each other. They don't really know what's going on. I think we win the game.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Great. I'll see you down there, Sammy. Good stuff, brother.
All right, buddy. I'll see you there.
All right, buddy. Wait a second. We got breaking news.
Can I start with a little audio clip?
Wow.
Can I start with a little audio
this
clip?
This news is flooring. Yes, start with the audio clip.
I know what I said, okay? But at the same time, I'm still evaluating the whole process, right? And I'm going to continue to evaluate and assemble the best staff moving forward. But currently, yes, they're still here.
Wait, you got to go back to the first time where he goes, yeah, they're coming back.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
The one that gave the speculation. Here is your breaking news. Mike Rowe out as offensive coordinator. Carson Walsh out as wide receivers coach. Wow. That is that's amazing.
24 hours ago, we thought they were returning.
Well, especially way Doug started when he talked about his news conference. He talked about it like a certainty they were coming back. That's monstrous. Monstrous. I love it. Need new voices offensively. I wasn't worried about the defensive coordinator. I was more worried about the offensive coordinator. Wow. We'll talk about it coming up. Nat, give some specifics, baby.
Well, first, let me tell you that January is here and January sports are here. NFL playoffs, the college football national championship is set, and the NBA, well, it's in full swing. If you're as excited as I am about the best sports month of the year, enjoy all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one online sportsbook, and I believe that because I love it. They've got all the bets you could want, a great and easy-to-use app, new promotions every day, and they get your winnings fast. If you've been holding out on trying FanDuel Sportsbook, now's the time because FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users their first bet risk-free. You can place any bet within 7 days of signing up, and FanDuel Sportsbook will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win. I'm looking at the over in the LSU-Clemson game. I think Seattle goes down, and because Embiid is out tonight, I don't know what the point total is, but Ben Simmons, I'm going to go with the over because he needs to step up tonight against Boston. To claim your risk-free bet, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android and use my code FANATIC. That's FANATIC, F-A-N-A-T-I-C, for your first bet to be risk-free. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms and restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I think both of those guys did an outstanding job for me this year. There was a lot of things we faced offensively, as you know, through adversity, through injury, through many different, I think, facets of trying to get the pieces together. And so my hat goes off to both of those gentlemen. Yes, both those guys will be back.
Wow! What do you make of that? Play that again. This is from the news conference yesterday, and this was the beginning when the question was asked. This was not the uncertainty piece. Take a listen.
I think both those guys did an outstanding job for me this year. There was a lot of things we faced offensively, as you know, through adversity, through injury, through many different, I think, facets of trying to get the pieces together. And so my hat goes off to both of those gentlemen. Yes, both those guys will be back.
All right, so I got a question here, all right? This really begs to be asked. When the Schwartz piece came up, it was about, he counters it all by saying that I'm still evaluating the coaches. Why didn't he say that then?
Well, they put out a statement regarding that. This is apparently Doug Peterson and not an Eagles PR person putting this out. But from Doug Peterson, I apologize for any confusion that I created during yesterday's press conference, including my comments on Jim Schwartz, Coach Schwartz, who has done a great job as our defensive coordinator. It was my intent not to comment on any of my staff during the ongoing evaluations because I wanted to be able to go through the process and communicate any decision directly with the individuals. I did a poor job of explaining that the first time I was asked. I will continue to evaluate everything and consider all possibilities to improve our football team. Did more than a poor job. You said they were back.
Yeah. So right on the text board, which is blowing up, it is Tasty Cake Dom saying that's a Howie move, not a Doug move. Is that possible?
Unless,
I wouldn't think that Howie would tell Doug about his staff, but it just doesn't make any sense that he would answer the question that way.
I don't think that could be a Howie move because we went through that with Jim Schwartz.
Right. I don't think so either. But the minute he's asked the question, I hate to do this to you, but play one more time. There's not an ounce of, I'm evaluating my coaches. There's none of that. Here, listen to it.
I think both those guys did an outstanding job for me this year. There was a lot of things we faced offensively, as you know, through adversity, through injury, through many different, I think, facets of trying to get the pieces together. And so my hat goes off to both of those gentlemen. Yes, both those guys will be back.
Both those guys will be back. Listen, he says it with certainty. There's no, like, we're still evaluating. What is that about? That's like he's changed on a dime.
Listen, I know what I said.
Right, but that came, that comes after, and that's about Schwartz. Both those guys will be back. Dude, something's fishy there. I'm sorry, man. First of all, I love the fact that they're not coming back. I'm going to tell you, they need to get a veteran coach in there. Even at the end, go to the end of the news conference. I need you to do this. The end of the news conference, when Jeff, or somebody asked him, I thought it was Jeff, who said, does your offense need a veteran offensive guy? Remember, the veteran was asked to Howie, and then it was asked to Doug. And when he asked it to Howie, remember, Howie brings up Tom Donahoe. Doug says, no, we don't need that. We got this. I'm telling you, something's not right there. Dan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Danny. Danny's not there. Let's go to, where are we at? Alex, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hey, Coach, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, you know, I got to say, I'm much great respect for you. Right? I'm much closer to the guy who said Brand's a one than as high as you are right now with my confidence level.
Tell us why.
You said every move you felt. I mean, you feel good about every move. That's a fair opinion. I don't. When you look at the moves, first off, starting with one, Butler. You don't trade for Butler if you aren't going to resign him. There's no way you give up assets for a guy if you don't have the knowledge that you're going to sign him long term.
Well, but you got assets back. What he was doing was he had to get the contract. Remember, the contracts are big here because it's why you move Fultz when you did. Because those are slots that you can bring in. And Jimmy represented a slot, a max slot.
No, but Jimmy just should have been the guy. If you're going to bring Jimmy in, it's because he's in your long-term plans. You don't bring in Jimmy for salary.
Well, first of all, you bring him in as a max slot player. What they did was they turned Covington and Dario into Jimmy, basically.
Yeah, but then you keep Jimmy, and then
okay. But no, you're not listening to me. Just listen to me one second.
You're saying you keep him, but then going on to the next thing because we disagree. If you don't,
you're not disagreeing. You got to hear me. I want you to listen. I'm not trying to sway you or anything else, but I need you to listen to me. Those two players become a max player. That is representative in Jimmy Butler. Go ahead.
And then as far as
you don't understand it, but go ahead.
You gave up for Tobias Harris. You give up first off, you overpaying the trade, and then you overpay him in free agency. What you should have done is you should have not signed him. You should have made a move for Kemba Walker.
I hate Kemba Walker. I'm sorry, brother. Kemba Walker, are you crazy? You're again. You're a guy that wants offense. I'm sorry, brother. Whatever. You lost me when you didn't get the Butler move. The Butler move was to turn those two guys into a max player. Then you have a max chip. What Jimmy represents is a max player chip. That's what he represents. Kemba Walker, you get small with no defense. Let's go to Chris in Pensauk, and you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris,
what's up, Ant? I'll give you my ratings. Howie, that's 3. Doug, I was going to give him a 7, but I'm going to give him an 8 now. Brand, a 6. And Brett Brown, a 4. You there?
I am, brother. I am.
And the reason I up Doug is because I agree with you. He don't see that coming, man. Howie plays him like a puppet. He don't get the call. He didn't. when they first hired these new guys, first thing I said, because when he first took the job, he didn't get the pick of the coaches. Howie never came out of his hole. These guys get bumped up.
All right, the reason why you're hearing quiet out of me, the last two guys, I'm trying to follow this Eagles story, okay? So we're having this conversation. So I want to give you and the audience this. All right, this is from Jeff McClain. Doug Peterson, as of yesterday, still had to meet with Jeffrey Lurie.
Right, okay.
So when he gave Groh and Walsh a vote of confidence, it was before he met with Jeff. So he meets with Jeff today, and a source says Lurie had decided by December that he didn't want either of them back.
That's what I'm saying. He might not be that offensive guru, and he might need a guy in his head. And I think Frank Reich's way overrated. We think that guy invented football. I get Doug's deficiencies, his press conference, and his creativity at times. That guy has leadership throughout. I've never seen a guy lead like that in my life. Do you know that for the first 4 years, we're the number one or number two team with holding the ball? He went to the playoffs twice, won a Super Bowl. I mean, I just don't see what we're not seeing in this guy. We always pick on that guy. That guy's probably the best coach.
Yeah, you and I disagree. I think he is a great leader of men. I do. I think he's a great leader of men. But I think, let me finish. Okay, I think he is, at best, average as a X and O man.
Okay, we can always agree to disagree. It's all good. Yeah. I wanted Brogdon, man. I wanted Brogdon so bad. I wouldn't. If we had Brogdon right now, we'd have 10 more wins. I'll be down there tonight with my kid. But there's no flow to that. So I said, I'm down there all the time. Section 104, 103, 105. Everybody thinks it was a bad move, and they all want Brett Brown gone.
Yeah, so, listen, I get it. You too, man. Take care. I understand it. I get people's frustration. I think you guys are way too hard on this team. Way too hard. I do. I mean, I think you guys expect stuff to happen overnight. I think our expectations are completely overreactive and heavy-handed. I mean, I just got to be honest with you. I mean, I got Kemba Walker on one side, the Jimmy Butler thing. Like, you have no idea. And I like the guy. Like, the guy Alex is a good dude. Good caller, and I think he knows basketball. It's not about that. It's not like, one of those deals. I think you know the game. But what you didn't know was that was a max contract. That's why Elton traded those two to get a max player. And he represented the max contract. We're way too hard. It's half a season and you want this guy fired and you got no faith in this guy. I don't get it. I don't get it.
They're 38 games in, man.
I know. I think you guys are.
And I'm telling you right now.
Just really harsh.
If they lose tonight without, and even though Embiid's not playing, people are going to be losing their minds tomorrow.
I know. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's leftover process, like angst. But there is just no patience whatsoever. And again, the process is separate from each season, right? Like, we can't lump it all together. Let's get back to this Eagle thing, because this is a Jeffrey Lurie production. Let's take a listen.
Do either you, whether it's the coaching staff or the personnel staff, feel like you should bring in a senior evaluator or someone on the offensive side to come in and look at the team and bring a different perspective to that process?
For the personnel staff?
For personnel and for
and for. So on the personnel staff, we have that. We have Tom Donahoe, who's been a GM for a long time. I would say our front office, I'm extremely prideful in our front office. I think we have a great front office. We lost, obviously, a GM candidate in Joe Douglas. We have a very talented front office staff. We're going to make some additions here in the next couple of days, which we'll announce, two that we're excited about. And we try to have different perspectives. We try to have different perspectives, just objective and subjective, so that we're not getting married. Because I know for me personally, one of my weaknesses is getting attached to our players. You know, there's no doubt about it. So we have a lot of voices who are not afraid to air their opinion. And, you know, I think that, you know, we always want that. And obviously we have the coaching staff, too, who gives us their opinions as well. So,
okay, thanks, guys.
Offensively, senior, bring anybody else to look at the offense?
In what capacity?
In what capacity? Have you thought about that, bringing in someone?
I don't understand. What capacity?
Well, just I mean, to look at the seen, but, you know, I remember Andy did it with bringing in Marty Morningweg, and we've seen other coaches do it.
Wasn't Marty a coordinator or coach here? Did he bring him in again?
Senior.
Was after I gone? Was I left?
I think before he brought him in, when after he left the Lions, maybe? I don't know.
My point is, like, are you looking to bring in somebody else to look at the offense?
You know, everything's obviously on the table. Yeah, I'm not opposed to doing something like that. I've actually thought, even in my first year, you know, as a rookie head coach, to maybe bring in someone that has obviously just a different perspective, different eyes, I guess, not coaching a position, whatever. But those are things that I continue to look at.
And coach, you did that on the defensive side.
I did it. Yeah, I did it this past year with Matt Burke, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, I trust myself. I trust Howie and his team and my offensive staff. We got enough.
We got enough. We got enough. And then he meets with Jeffrey Lurie. Jeffrey Lurie goes, those guys are out. They're out.
Emotional intelligence.
Wow. Wow. That whole press conference. Guys, I got to ask you guys. What in the world? Why would you have a news conference before you met with the owner?
Yes, both those guys will be back.
I mean, that looks horrible.
Listen, I know what I said.
That looks horrible. I gotta tell you, I mean, there's so much at play here. That's why, listen, all due respect, I love my man Chris from Penn Salk. I mean, he's terrific, but, you know, I can't laud Doug Peterson as, you know, some Belichickian kind of dude, as this great coach. He doesn't even have enough sway with his owner to keep the coaches he wants. I mean, could you imagine if, you know, Jeffrey Lurie's going to tell, I'll go Andy Reid. Jeffrey Lurie never told Andy Reid what to do. That's amazing. He went out.
And if Lurie's doing it, you know he wants to have a big name then. A big name OC. It's not going to be some random guy from college,
he
right?
He tells you everything that we said. It's amazing, because when Chris talks about Reich, and he goes, oh, I think he invented football. Well, I got news for you. Reich and DeFilippo, Lurie confirms that they missed those guys by doing this. And again, I've never seen anything like this. So, Jeff McClain, again, this is a Jeff McClain tweet. As I noted yesterday, Doug Peterson had yet to meet with owner Jeffrey Lurie when he gave Groh and Walsh a vote of confidence. Lurie had pretty much decided by December that he didn't want either back, an NFL source said. So according to Jeff McClain, Jeffrey Lurie decided this in December. So what was yesterday about? Why would you do that news conference yesterday?
Yes, both those guys will be back.
I'm at a loss. Judas, you got any kind of help?
I got nothing for you.
See, here's the thing. Normally how it goes is, like, you got this meet. I don't understand how you can call a press conference without the owner weighing in on this stuff. And if he decided in December, why wouldn't you just wait and do this? They look horrible. I mean, beyond bad. This looks terrible. Yeah,
Doug's got to be embarrassed today. And no, it's not his fault, really. I mean, it kind of is because he said he'll be back.
Well, I don't know, but if the owner knew in December he didn't want him, I mean, didn't they have a conversation?
They should have.
Maybe
they didn't.
I mean, that's crazy.
So my man Rob tweets in, how about we bring in the clapper as the offensive coordinator?
Jason Garrett. Oh, my God. Could you imagine?
No. I couldn't see that because you know that they would cut them all the time.
I'm sorry. Listen, guys, like, don't. The Sixer thing, I'm kind of half having this conversation with you guys over the last 15 minutes. This story is amazing to me. I'm flabbergasted. How could you have a news conference before the owner weighs in on the coaching staff? And the coach doesn't have enough sway with the owner to go, I want, these are my guys.
I just don't think he knew either way.
That's the issue.
That's what I'm saying.
No. That's the issue. Yeah. He doesn't know.
Right. So then now he's trying to backtrack, and it's like, you all have to get on the same page here. Because if they're not discussing internally, that's so problematic.
Okay. Trust me, Nat.
No, I know.
I've been around these organizations for a long time. The owner knows when a news conference is being called. The owner has had to at least communicate to someone that he didn't want the offense coordinator and receivers coach. If he had made his mind up in December, like Jeff McClain reports, this whole thing is crazy to me.
So what does that say about the relationship between him and Doug?
Well, it says a couple things. One, the coach doesn't have enough sway to have his own coaches.
Dang.
It says that the owner believes they miss Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. That's what that says.
Mm-hmm.
That the owner believes the coach needs some veteran help offensively. And I agree with him. I think Jeffrey Lurie was smart in doing this. He needs help, Doug Peterson. He needs help with a game plan. He needs help with his offense. He needs veteran help with this team.
Tell him, man.
He's right. Jeffrey Lurie's right. Wow. I'm flabbergasted. I can't believe that they would have a news conference and the coach would be sitting there going, got her back, without even speaking to the owner. It's unbelievable. Let's talk about Parks Casino. My casino of choice, Parks Casino, home of Cousins Corner, will be there tonight. In fact, tonight's a special South Philly Turf Club edition of the Cousins Corner. We're going to be hanging out over there at the South Philly Turf Club right before the Sixers game. We got Sixers C's tonight. We got to check that out. Don't forget, use promo code BIRDS to open up your new account. If you can't get to the Parks Casino, just get to the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. You get a risk-free bet up to $500. I'm telling you, just go to parkscasino.com/PA. It's a great time up there. If you can't, you know, if you want to do the online, is great. All the lines and everything else you want, all the prop bets. But check out the Parks Casino Sportsbook up at Parks Street Road, Ben Salem, or on the Turf Club's tremendous, absolutely tremendous Parks Casino. It's the home of Cousins Court. Again, tonight, 6 to 7, live from the Turf Club in South Philadelphia. Got to be 21, PA only. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, both those guys are back.
Well, we won't see him no more.
Listen, I know what I said.
I'm blown away by this whole thing. Why in the world would you have a news conference? Andrew said to me in the other room, we were just sitting there talking about it, and he goes, you got to have another news conference now, right? I go, yeah. Yes.
Because a statement on Twitter is not enough.
Like, what? This thing's crazy. He said they'll be back. And at the end, when they were talking about some sort of senior advisor, he said, we got this. And evidently, the owner said, no, you don't.
We got enough.
And Jeffrey went, nah, Doug, you don't. That's amazing.
Yes, both those guys will be back.
Oh, man. Goose, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Goose.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How you guys doing?
What's up, Goose?
I'm doing had better days. I'm a little worried now, man. I mean, we went from having to, you know, fill up some spots on the roster that now I have to replace the offensive coordinator and then possibly a D coordinator if Jim Schwartz leaves. And what I get from this old Jim Jeff Lurie and Howie Doug Fiasco, it just seems like they just left Doug out in the wind. Like they don't have the full confidence behind Doug. And I understand this is what we need, the senior veteran and everything like that. But it kind of takes you back to when Doug first got hired, and then Doug didn't get a chance to hire his own coaches. You know, they hired the guys around him for him as if they'll have the trust that, you know, that
I don't know. Like, it worked, right? Because Reich was huge, and so was DeFilippo. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I'm on Team Jeff here.
I totally agree with you. I'm on that side, but it's just, you got to give your Super Bowl winning coach an opinion. It seems like he didn't even have an opinion on this thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a micro fan, but it just seems like I want my Super Bowl winning coach to have an opinion on who's going to be in the side.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm on a fence with Doug in that I think he's a brilliant leader, but I don't think he's a great
X-and-O guy, and I agree with that.
So I don't know what, I don't know what to feel like. You know, yeah, I don't like Mike Rowe. I think. All right, let's just be rational here, without emotion, and just look at it like this. If we agree that Doug is a great leader, right?
Right.
And if he lacks in an area, I'm not telling you, he stinks. But I'm just saying, if he lacks in an area, it's X and O, it's offense, the whole thing. Well, obviously, Mike Rowe's not the answer there. Let's go get somebody that is the answer and marry the two.
That I agree with, but I also agree with that Doug needs to have a voice in who that is that he wants to be married to.
Okay. You know, I mean, I don't know how well it worked with Mike Rowe because he promoted him.
Maybe he didn't have a choice there. There wasn't a lot of options, so he just went with Mike Rowe. I don't remember schematic
going right, right. I'm not going to pretend to lie to you. I know the internal conversations between Doug and Jeffrey and Howie. I have an idea, but I don't know what happened. I don't know what it was.
The situation we're in right now, going into the offseason, especially coming off the season we just had.
But see, I like it. I think they need a fresh start, man. I think Carson needs a new offense, weapons. I think he needs a new offense. I think they need new principles. I love it.
As long as this fresh start don't set us back 2-3 years trying to figure out, you know, everything like that, I'm all for it. But you guys have a great day.
You too, Goose. Take care, brother. I love it. I think it's exactly what they need. They need fresh eyes. They need to have Wentz run this thing. They need new personnel for Wentz to throw to. Joe and Delco, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Anthony, what's up, man? How you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Joe.
I got to say, man, I think this whole thing with Doug is kind of overblown. Maybe they missed the point. When I watched that yesterday, the feeling that I got from him was that he was kind of trying to move on from the question after he got pressed. because he kind of said everything's under, we're still looking at everything. We're still looking at everything.
Okay, let me stop you here, because the beginning part of the news conference, and I couldn't disagree with you more, brother. I don't think this was at all blown out of proportion. When they first start the news conference and he's asked about the future of Grow and Walsh, Doug says this. Play it, Junis. And he's definitive in what he says.
Yes, both those guys will be back.
I heard it. I just thought that came after the fact.
No, that came before. No, that came before everything. Where Doug, it was over Schwartz that Doug started to get agitated.
All right, maybe I hopped in at the wrong time. I was working at the time.
Yeah, that's all right.
The way I looked at it, I was like, man, it sounds like he's just trying to cover up, you know.
And, that was the Schwartz piece of it.
Okay. Then it's my fault there.
No, it's not your fault. It's all right.
Happy New Year anyway.
Happy New Year, brother. You got it, buddy. Happy New Year.
Here's what I'll do. I'm going to grab like the whole beginning to end of the Grow Walsh to Schwartz.
Yes.
And you'll hear the difference in tone. You'll hear the different words that he uses.
The questions that add in the end where they talk about the offensive, the senior advisor. Yes. It's another thing. Because this is wow. This is, and again, remember this. Jeff McClain reports that Jeffrey Lurie knew in December he wanted to move on from Groh and Walsh. So I beg of you, why didn't you wait until Jeffrey Lurie puts the hammer down to have a news conference? That's the only trouble. I agree with Jeff. I think Jeffrey Lurie made the smart move. But I'm just surprised they went through the yesterday's dog and pony show, because really it meant nothing. It was 45 minutes of waste of time yesterday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.